Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. We are just a couple of weeks away from Christmas and we are here to talk you through all of the big Scottish rugby news and the gifts that have been bestowed on us by World Rugby this week. We will be diving into the world of NFTs to save the finances of World Rugby. How fucking exciting is that? Matt, how are you doing, buddy? Excited about Christmas?
Yeah, I think so. If I can get a wee NFT in my inbox on Christmas Day from courtesy of World Rugby, then I'll be a happy man.
If you wake up, check your inbox, and Alan Gilpin is just like slid in with like a Chris Patterson NFT, how good would that be?
Yeah, that would be really good. Kind of like a Dan Parks moment or something.
Ooh, Dan Parks would be very good. Alan, who would you have on your World Rugby minted NFT on Christmas Day?
Just wake up, check your phone. Christine JPEG slips into the inbox. Thank you very much. Perfect Christmas.
They're going to make
what about the Daryl Marfo NFT?
Oh.
Yeah, that's like Charizard. That's like the top level NFT, right? That would be so good. Well, we are back. There's been a couple of weeks of rugby since we did a pod, couple of wins for Edinburgh and Glasgow have been going all right as well. And we are looking forward to a big weekend of European rugby. So we're going to canter through a little bit of news first, and then we're going to get into a little bit of a look back at the last few weeks and almost like the sort of the first block of the URC and have a bit of a review of how Edinburgh and Glasgow have been getting on. A little bit of a reminder, if it is your first time listening to the Thistle, welcome along. You can also find us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. Get over on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and sign up to our newsletter, which drops in your inbox first thing on a Monday morning. That's on Substack, Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, and is a great wrap-up of all of the weird and wonderful things going on in Scottish rugby. So let's kick it off with a little bit of news. And Matt, I'll come to you first on this one. Jordan Venter, the absolute stacked hunk that signed for Edinburgh from South Africa, age just 17, has moved to Bath, it has been announced this week, without ever really troubling an Edinburgh shirt. I think he got a couple games for Watsonians along the way. But Matt, quite an interesting development, because when he was brought over, it was relatively high profile. He was a sort of an interesting signing. I mean, is this a sign of a little bit of a failure in the sort of the SRU's policy of looking for young South Africans to bring over early?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose he was signed by Cockerell / the SRU, and the fact that Mike Blair has come in now and is playing a different style of rugby. And it seems as if Venter's approach was pretty direct. He maybe just doesn't fit. And you look at the Edinburgh squad, Cammy Hutchinson, who obviously has just signed a new contract, seems to be highly rated. James Lang is more in Blair style. You've got Chris Dean, who still can't even sort of break through for a start. You've got George Taylor, Henry Immelman. I suppose he was looking for game time. Bath have offered him it. You know, makes a lot of sense. I think in terms of the overall kind of signing strategy, yeah, I suppose you could argue that it would make more sense for those resources to be directed to a younger player. But I think it was maybe worth a shot. You never know what he might have turned out to be like. And I don't imagine they were sort of paying him that much as a young guy. He might have been a more of a kind of academy type contract.
You've also got the one player that seems to sort of come through and Mike Blair's a fan of is Matt Curry, who probably is someone that at the start of the season we didn't think would be sort of regularly starting for Edinburgh. But yeah, as you said, just ultimately the number of centres that Edinburgh have in their books, I can't imagine it was a big issue kind of when they got the offer in from Bath.
Tooney's a big fan of Matt Curry as well, because he was in that first wider autumn squad. He went to that sort of 2-day camp in like the middle of October before the Tonga game.
Yeah.
He was quite an interesting guy. I mean, I thought Jordan Venter's statement at Bath read like a hostage statement. He was like, "This is where I want to be situated," which I thought was a phenomenal turn of phrase.
apparently, Bath had tried to sign him beforehand, they claimed, like a year ago or something. It didn't work.
To be fair, if you look on his Instagram, like he is so athletic on his Instagram. It's unbelievable. Like, you look at him, you're like, he looks like a pro rugby player.
Question for you, I was thinking about this week, is A, Jordan Venter probably has the best rig in schoolboy rugby history. And then B, what do you think Finn Russell could do if he had Jordan Venter's rig? Especially when the recent photos of him coming out from the Racing Metro photo shoot, where his rig's looking particularly sort of out of shape.
Poor.
He wouldn't be as good, man, you know.
No,
it's the fact he eats Five Guys and stuff, you know, like a happy Finn is a, you know, a contented Finn is a good performer on the pitch. He'd obviously be so much better.
Yeah, I would love to A-B test it. Like, what is, if like Finn just for like a year got on like the 300 workout program and like became this like just roided up and became this beast, would his, how much or how detrimental would that be to his overall game?
Someone like Dan Carter. Yeah, Dan Carter was like a proper athlete. And
Johnny Wilkinson was also a very proper athlete.
But I'd even say Carter is maybe verging more on a Finn-style player because he was a great attacker. So what harm could it do? It's never going to happen, clearly, though.
It's never ever going to happen. But another physical athlete has been signed by Glasgow. Second row, JP Dupria has signed for Glasgow next season from Sale, standing in at a diminutive 6 foot, 10.5 inches and a mere 122 stone. Alan, looks on the face of it like a pretty good piece of business for a Glasgow team that's often been out-muscled at the sort of the top ends of Europe or the sort of the end stages of the Pro 14.
No, I think it's a good bit of business. I think hopefully sort of comes alongside kind of Richie Gray and Harley, who do sort of offer something a little bit different, but probably don't have that sort of proper heft that someone like Dupree can give you. And I think, you know, ultimately one of the additional benefits is whilst I think generally he's obviously a relatively quality second row, I think sadly for him, he's from South Africa, which ultimately has, you know, the greatest depth of second row in the history of Test rugby. So ultimately, he's probably going to be at Glasgow and not for the majority of his sort of contract, rather than kind of going away to have to play in the Rugby Championship or having to go away for sort of the Autumn Internationals.
I think he's a bit of an upgrade for Glasgow as well, because I think although Richie Gray played reasonably well against the Dragons, I don't think he has hit the heights that we were all expecting. Or maybe he's like fulfilled some of those like concerns. And I just think Glasgow can do better than Harley. And I think we need to maybe start to try and like move on a bit from those kind of guys. And I've only seen him play in patches for Sale, but he's reasonably highly rated. And I think the fact that the main reason they got rid of him was because of the EQP stuff is quite telling.
Yeah, and good that Glasgow is sort of getting out the blocks early and sorting out their business for the new season already. Incidentally, the average height of someone in Scotland is 5'8", so he is a whole 1 foot, 2.5 inches taller than your average Scotsman. So he's going to stand out.
Is that what average height of a male?
A male, yeah.
Oh, really?
Alan, you're above average. Don't listen to anybody. Look. So that's going to look very, very good walking down Socky Hall Street. So we will look forward to the arrival of JP Dupree next year. And a little bit of news out of Edinburgh. Cammy Hutchison, the centre, has re-signed. It was quite a lot of fanfare. I think Cammy's done good work for a young man, but the way the press release announced it, and Alan, let me know if you agree with this, that Edinburgh have been handed a massive boost ahead of their trip to Saracens by re-signing Cammy Hutchison. Did you feel that boost as an Edinburgh Ultra?
Do you think Saracens are chatting about it? They're like, oh no, they've been boosted.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
obviously Cammy Hutchison, young player, showing up well, and then they were like, how can we link this to the match that we've got coming up? And it's just like, you didn't need to do that. They are two separate things that are both happening and do not need to be brought together into one phrase.
Although, we'll come on to talk about the Saracens game. Do you think Cammy Hutchison might be playing?
Look, potentially, I guess, you know, if we do sort of shift onto it, I guess there's a question for Blair, which is, you know, how much do you want to target the Challenge Cup? You know, given the fact that they're obviously, you know, second in the United Rugby Championship, you know, there's a chance they're going to win their pool and sort of get to sort of the knockout stages. You know, is there value potentially in, you know, not putting kind of the seconds down, but taking out a few of kind of those really key players? So people like, you know, someone like Bradbury, who with Bill Matter out, is probably going to be massively important, especially kind of over kind of the Christmas and New Year period. Do you sort of take them out and sort of go down with maybe, you know, about half your first team with people like kind of Cammy Hutchison, Jack Blaine, etc., kind of filling in the gaps where necessary?
Gotta say, it might be a risk because you'd think Saracens, do you think they will want to go on and win the Challenge Cup as a sort of just a little bit of a stamp on that they're back in a serious outfit again?
Possibly. I'm looking at the rest of the group as well. London Irish, Poe. Wouldn't be surprised if Poe bin it off. London Irish are kind of maybe in a similar position to Edinburgh, pushing for playoffs in the Premiership. Put out some youngsters. I don't really know. Should be interesting though.
It'd be interesting. I guess like all the teams in theory, you know, potentially have a rationale for not taking the Challenge Cup too seriously. You know, ultimately for Saracens, clearly, you know, they're wanting to focus on getting back into that sort of top four. And I guess for a club like Saracens, who just has obviously that history of success in the Champions Cup, you know, ultimately it's kind of, they're just not going to, I can't imagine internally they're going to care that much about winning the Challenge Cup. I might be wrong. So I generally think there's a potentially high chance that we see a slightly weakened Edinburgh team and a potentially sort of weakened Saracens team this weekend.
That'll be shame. And we will be seeing it live. We're going to the Stone X Stadium. Quick sidebar. Worst name for a stadium, Stone X or Dam Health?
Stone X Stadium, at least Dam Health, like, can be, you know, Edinburgh or Murrayfield. It kind of runs okay, but it's the Stone X Stadium Barnet that I think makes it sound even worse. In the absolute arse end of nowhere as well. So difficult to get to.
It's so difficult to get to.
It's a good stand, to be fair. It's good fun there.
But we're down with the kids. We're in the sort of the standing area. Looking forward to it.
Very expensive.
Are we standing? Oh dear.
We're standing. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's because like the cheapest, like, well, when we decided to buy the tickets, like the cheapest sitting seats were like 60-70 quid, and it was just like, I just don't know whether Saracens Edinburgh Challenge Cup is worth that amount of money.
the hospitality inquiry never came back, did it?
No. So yeah, but even then, £30 to stand for it's punchy. But no, obviously we went before to watch Glasgow get absolutely pumped, sort of about 4 years ago. And to be fair, if it's a nice day, it's a pretty great setup.
It is. It absolutely is. I mean, what Edinburgh, you know, off the back of a very good win at the weekend, bonus point win against Benetton, showing some nice touches, some good tries, flying high, as you've touched on, Alan, second in the URC, sort of just behind Leinster. I mean, Matt, what do you think we can expect from an Edinburgh team going down this weekend?
Well, I think that Edinburgh's style actually is quite suited to potentially beating Saracens. And what I mean by that is, if we were trying to beat them up and take them on up front, I don't know if Glasgow or Edinburgh are ever really going to achieve that. And you look at some of Glasgow's trips down to Saracens recently, and I think they've in a few games got like a reasonable amount of change out of really going for it and taking on Saracens and trying to play the game at a high tempo. So I think in that regard, the way that Edinburgh has been playing recently suits this match quite well. You know, as you said, it might depend on what sort of team we see, because if Saracens put out their big guns, then I can see a situation where Edinburgh hold on for a bit and then are just overcome by their power, by Itoje, Vunipola's, you know, maybe Farrelly playing, I don't know. So I think it'd be, in the end, a pretty tough day at the office.
Alan, you signing up to that?
No, I think it's a relatively sort of fair assessment. It'll be interesting to see, you know, specifically just on both sides, I guess, even with a few sort of changes, you know, that Saracens pack still relatively sort of combative, and you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how someone potentially like a Jamie Hodgson, Crosby, etc. It'd be nice to see people like them have really big games away from home against the Saracens outfit, because I think, you know, Crosby and Hodgson at the start of the season have shown sort of glimpses again of their sort of ability to sort of step up into that kind of probably like next phase of their career, being sort of like a solid club player. And I think this is probably a particularly good opportunity for to sort of demonstrate that. Also, get sort of a hit out against Callum Hunter-Hill for a lot
just,
of those.
I was just thinking that. I was just
Revenge.
Thinking that.
Yeah. Could be a Hunter-Hill Swinson row.
That'd be really good.
Swinson, genuinely, if he hadn't like retired 3 years ago and then played for London Scottish, I genuinely think he would have been called up in the autumn internationals. It's just like somehow sort of like developed a second career that just sort of, I still think, kind of happens under the radar.
Yeah. I mean, everyone at Saracens loves him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was like player of the year last year. And like when people are talking about him in interviews, they're talking about him like being like the perfect foil for like
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Itoje and stuff like that. It's incredible. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah. But yeah. So no, I'm looking forward to it. And
looking forward to the trip. I hope that I haven't looked at the weather actually.
It looks really bad.
Ah, oh, good. Good.
It's quite a big, I think it'd be interesting to see how Blair Kinghorn goes if he is selected at 10, which I expect he will be, because I think he's done well so far, but ultimately against like not the best opposition. Probably like Benetton is the most difficult team he's played against. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes in a game where maybe a bit more control is needed rather than running everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good point, actually, Matt. We have, before we sort of move on from Edinburgh, I think second in the league, I mean, it was Rob Robertson dedicated his page in the Mail earlier this week saying that we shouldn't be getting overexcited about this Edinburgh team because they haven't played anyone good yet. Do you sort of buy into that, or do you think this is a really impressive Edinburgh team, Alan?
Sorry, that's my mute. you know, I mean, ultimately, they haven't played a particularly sort of fantastic set of teams at the start of the season. You know, they've three of their seven games have been against Italian opposition. And whilst I appreciate that Benetton are the reigning Rainbow Cup champions, they're still not that great. And then you've got two at home against South African teams, I think at home against Scarlets and away to Dragons. So I think ultimately where they are now is probably slightly above where they wanted to be, but probably it's not exactly a demonstration that they've completely sort of crushed the sort of start of this season. So I think it's a good start, but where I wouldn't go as far as sort of Rob Robertson did, but I think it's a fair point to say that they've potentially not been fully tested against a top quality club side. And it's interesting, we were sort of chatting about it earlier, but I think if you look at their sort of season, they've obviously got a bit of a hard patch, sort of December, January, where they've got kind of Glasgow, and then they've got Munster and Ospreys and Cardiff. And then they've not actually got Leinster or Ulster until sort of April, May. So again, it sort of feels like the next sort of 6 weeks is a really sort of key period for Edinburgh, both in terms, especially in terms of, you know, that URC position. But yeah, it's it'd be interesting how they do. I think with both Edinburgh and Glasgow, I'd interested your thoughts. I feel like there's been sort of hints of both have the ability to, you know, beat people on their day, but there's still sort of massive question marks about both teams and what their ability is, you know, ultimately to compete with. I think if you look at the URC, it's ultimately Leinster, Munster and Ulster, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think with Edinburgh, I mean, fair play to them. They managed to string together some really great results whilst rotating the team a lot. And, you know, I think the fact, particularly against the Dragons away, which I appreciate is not the highest level of opposition, made a lot of changes. And it seemed as if people slotted in really well. But it's just difficult to tell, I think, how good Edinburgh are, because I don't think we quite know what Mike Blair's best team is. But if you think about them putting out like a full noise team, they've still got a pack that can compete with most and some like really exciting players in the back. So I think if they go full noise, like they should be pretty, like a pretty big threat.
I guess that is, you know, ultimately, especially in the back line, I don't think we have a clear view on what Mike Blair's sort of, you know, if it was a knockout match, all players available, not 100% clear who Mike Blair would choose. Potentially Vellacott, Darcy, Graham. But even then, I'm still not 100% clear whether right now he would choose Kinghorn at 10 and what that sort of...
I think he would.
Lang maybe so. At 12?
Lang.
But I guess ultimately the point is,
yeah,
we're sort of saying he's had this sort of stretch of seven games, probably on average a little bit lower in difficulty versus your average URC game, has done a relatively kind of vast amount of rotation amongst the squad and has sort of come out with 5 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss and hopefully is closer to kind of nailing down what that sort of starting 15 team would be for the knockout match versus Ulster, right?
So that's Edinburgh. Obviously, as we say, we will be there at the Stone Act Stadium on Saturday. So if you see us down there, if you know what we look like, come over and say hello. We will be down at the sideline. Matt, are you still planning on wearing your fez, your Saracens fez?
I don't know. Is that not being cancelled yet?
I don't know if that's culturally appropriate, but I don't think you should actually, Matt. I think it would be offensive.
I've been full burnt orange Edinburgh kit.
We do have that signed Chris Dean shirt that we won by sponsoring him.
What, have you got that?
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, it's a 2XL. So I think Alan might be able to squeeze into it.
Why don't we bring it along on Saturday and do some sort of forfeit, and the loser has to wear it to the match?
Yeah, I'll bring it with me. Yeah.
To be fair, whilst obviously I would normally be insulted by the comment around the 2XL, my general understanding is the Macron kits are naturally quite tight, so
yeah,
probably quite happy that it's a 2XL.
It is absolutely massive. It's huge. I've got it over the bed. My wife's like, "That looks terrible," but I'm like, "It's not coming down." The Christine shirt stays on.
It's not even framed. It's just like hanging off a nail.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I got the picture frame nails just like nailed in. It's great. Yeah. It goes really nicely with the photo of Christine I've got on the side of the bed as well. But anyway, we should talk a little bit about Glasgow as well, who they beat the Dragons last weekend, starting debut for Josh Mackay, making his first start for Glasgow in what looks like they're getting their act together a little bit, in the starting 15. I mean, Matt, what have you made of Glasgow so far this season, and then in that victory at the weekend?
I think when it clicks for Glasgow, they look really good. And talked about it in the newsletter this week, like particularly in the backs, the amount of talent they have there now, with Mackay obviously arriving, with Rufus McLean, Cancelier, Stain, Tupilotu, like they've got some serious attacking ability. And I think some of the other signings, like Jack Dempsey in particular, has looked really good even when Glasgow have looked poor. But ultimately, like some of the losses that they've had, particularly that Benetton game, it's maybe like difficult to look past that. And I think, you know, obviously it happened last year as well. And if it happened once, you could maybe write it off. But it does seem to be something that creeps into their game. And I think one of the disappointing things with Glasgow is when things go wrong, it seems to be the older heads that aren't able to calm things down or lead the team out of difficulty. I think, you know, the likes of your Gray, Harley, Weir, I just don't think have really stepped up in those situations. So I think there's still a lot of question marks around Danny Wilson. And I wonder if there's a slight sense that a different coach might be able to get a little bit more out of the talent that's in the squad.
But currently sitting pretty fifth, well, relatively pretty fifth in the league in the URC. Alan, could be worse?
It definitely could be worse. I think, you know, ultimately, Glasgow have been pretty inconsistent this year, and a sort of that spectrum, I think, of performances, whereas I think Edinburgh's sort of performances are all sort of cluster around a sort of similar mark of probably like between sort of like 6 and 8. It's like Edinburgh sort of ranges between, sorry, Glasgow sort of ranges between like 2 and 9. And it's sort of just like their ability, in terms of sort of like the performances they're sort of bringing in, can sort of range quite rapidly. And I wonder whether, I know sort of Ryan Wilson didn't play in that Benetton game, I just wonder sort of how important someone like that is to this team, where they potentially do lack a little bit of leadership quality.
He's been the exception in terms of the older guys, yeah, which I don't think I would be saying. Like, he seems to have played really well. Also, a real roast, well, maybe it was his own fault, it might have been out in the lash, that the Barbarians game was cancelled, because I can't think he was going to captain Barbarians.
Yeah, it's a real shame.
I know. Did you hear, he was saying that that Nico like flew across from like, was like flying across to, like Montauban, and like turned up at the stadium and was like outside trying to get in, and was like calling him, like asking him like where everyone was, and they were like, "Oh, the game's cancelled, mate." It was something ridiculous, which I mean does just show kind of how obviously completely mental the whole situation was.
But apparently they had, extension on that, they got the Barbarians got to a stage where they had 23 men that could have played, and Samoa had a team as well. It was the RFU or the Twickenham authorities that binned it off.
Yeah, but it was interesting. It sort of just shows you sort of how ineffective sometimes like lateral flow tests could be. They were like, Baba's team was doing like 2 lateral flow tests a day, all came negative apart from one that came up positive, and then they did a round of PCR tests and like 4 of them were positive. So it's but yeah, I don't know. Such a difficult one. But no, obviously gutty for him that he wasn't able to sort of captain the Bambas. I mean, it's pretty sort of illustrious group to sort of be a part of, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Glasgow got, they're heading to La Rochelle this weekend. An absolute monstrous team, Matt. Do you hold out much hope for Glasgow?
You look at how well La Rochelle have done in recent seasons, obviously beating the finalists last year, and you look at the players that they can bring to the contest in terms of Skelton, Antonio, Kevin Groudon, those some kind of players. Like, it looks like a pretty difficult task. But I think, to be fair to Glasgow, they've in recent years have a pretty good record when they're slightly under the cosh and like the underdogs. And the last time they played them in 2019 at La Rochelle, they beat them. So, I mean, I think you do look at that Glasgow team, and it had likes of Johnny Gray, Hastings, Tommy Seymour. You know, like, I think this Glasgow team is slightly different to that. So I think that La Rochelle will win it, but I'm not completely writing off Glasgow.
Alan, do you think Glasgow will give you a birthday present with a wee win?
I know. I did actually just notice that. I was like, oh, it's a nice little sort of like mid-afternoon birthday treat. Just sort of hand Freya over and be like, this is my time now. I don't know. I think ultimately, I think La Rochelle are going to be away is definitely like a bit of a step too far for this team. Again, you know, ultimately it'd be interesting from a Glasgow standpoint to see how much they sort of target the Champions Cup. Again, do they put out their sort of full team, or do they hold anything back for that sort of late December, sort of January kind of key part of the URC calendar. But at the same time, I don't think Glasgow, I'd like to think, don't have the team at the moment where they're going to get completely wiped off the pitch. So I'm probably, if I have to predict, which I, as part of this podcast, I do, I reckon you're looking at like a 50-20 point loss, but like something like a, you know, like a 35-20, 35-18 maybe.
Quite high scoring then. And what about for the Edinburgh game? While you're doing predictions, why don't you give us one then?
Obviously, it's so difficult because obviously it's still not clear in terms of how both teams are going to approach it. But I think ultimately Saracens at home are just going to have a little bit too much. So I actually think it'd be quite tight. But looking at, you know, something in the region of like a 19-14, a little bit lower scoring.
Something in the region of 19-14 is a really, really specific specific landing area.
You know, like a little bit more low scoring than your La Rochelle Glasgow match, and a little bit sort of tighter in score. I guess ultimately to the point, just looking at the weather, you know, 80% chance it's going to be pouring with rain on Saturday. Appreciate it's a sort of 4G pitch, but I guess I wonder how Edinburgh. How that feels like it maybe slightly plays into Edinburgh's hands.
Do you think?
Possibly.
I think if the weather's bad, it would play into Saracen's hands, right?
I guess maybe I'm still too sort of focused around kind of the old Edinburgh and that sort of more sort of forward orientated game plan. Whereas obviously with Mike Blair's team, a little bit more fast flowing. I guess it's, you know, the argument, if it's raining, would you potentially consider even starting someone like Purgos? Although I think I don't think you can, just because I think Vellacott, it's just been so strong in that 9 position for Edinburgh.
If it's going to be raining, it definitely does change my opinion on the Fez. Keep your head dry. I think maybe it is a Fez. I don't know. I have to think about that.
Do you know what? I actually do have a burnt orange like waterproof top, completely disassociated with Edinburgh. Just I actually personally chose to buy a burnt orange waterproof jacket. So I might actually whip that out of the cupboard for the weekend.
That's going to look good.
Yeah.
Is Yakko injured or is he kicking around?
My understanding is Yakko is kicking around, although Savela obviously came off the bench at the weekend, or was kind of the bench cover last weekend.
I don't really get that guy.
Savela. Yeah, I don't really
get Charlie Savela.
Blair doesn't like Jacko, or doesn't seem to rate Jacko too highly, is the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder whether you bring Jacko in for this match, given both the kind of the importance of it in the grand scheme of things of this season, but also if you do decide to not play Kinghorn, it feels like starting Savala in the rain away to Saracens.
I think
he's literally like what started one professional rugby match in his entire life. That feels a little bit of a step too far.
Yeah, agreed.
It certainly does. Well, as I say, Edinburgh fans and Saracen fans, look, if you're listening to us as well, we will be down at the Stone Axe, Fortress Stone Axe on Saturday. Very much looking forward to that. To the rest of you, we will be back with a pod next weekend, sort of looking back at next week, looking back at the European fixtures, and look out for that newsletter on Monday morning.
One thing I guess keen to get your sort of thoughts on is, when we've chatted about it a little bit, is Super Six and the fact that a lot of those...
Can I stop you there? Because a client has just arrived at my office and I need to go.
That is absolutely fine.
It is now the working day. I need to get into.
Yeah. Agreed.
So let's save our conversations about the Super Six until another time. As a cliffhanger there for the pod, we will talk about the Super Six another day.
Very fair. What was I going to say? We don't know.
We will never, ever
tune in
know.
Next week.
Tune in next week, guys. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.